The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is August 18th, 2015, and we are sponsored by Dr. William Wong's Essentials. That's www.docsprefer.com. Dr. Wong's a regular here every month, and he's sponsoring me for Iceland, and I thank him very much. Next, another sponsor, Sorenex Equipment, sorenex.com. 803-978-2253, extension 111. You got to go out and check their diamond bar. This goes right into your power rack, so you can lift anything you want out of the power rack, and you can press. This thing is huge, oversized handles, a little bit of really nice harsh knurling on it, which is great. I haven't brought it up to its max yet, but I believe you could probably load it from 800 to 1,000 pounds. It's an exceptional piece of equipment. So go out to Sorenex.com. Next, this is for New York residents, Hearts Collision, heartscollision.com, 518-477-7937. Lori and Alex are good friends of mine. If you've been listening to the show, I am training their 14-year-old son, Alex, who's made incredible progress in 10 weeks here, mainly with strongman and trap bar work. And now he's carrying the Domination Stone, which if you look, I put the video up yesterday. Pretty proud of this kid, man. And now he wants to do strongman for next year. So after basketball's over, he and I are going to be training all winter. And on that frame, I'm going to get him up to about 190 this winter. And hopefully in 16, we're going to get him in two meets. So check that out. So go out to heartscollision.com. Next. You can download my free ebook at FiorelloBarbellCo.com, Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. Just 10 paragraphs to have you take action, to think, to move. You know, no gloss, no BS, man. You know, we keep things straight up, real precise, very stripped down. That's the way I like to train, and I'm even getting more and more like that every day here. So go out to Fiorello Barbell Co. and download the Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. Obviously, strength times power equals success. That is the video all done in, let's see, we did that. That's recorded. I believe I spoke on that all the way through. It's all done in HD. It's beautiful. We use that mainly to take 43 pounds off Dennis in 6 months. But all the movements we did there, you can build on and grow on. If you want to lose weight, you can use the exact blueprint. It worked 267 down to 224 in 6 months. Incredible, man. Obviously, the winner's circle, that's coming. That's 12 modules of me speaking, 27 to 34 minutes. Everything from the beginning here, right through to my love of the power rack, sandbag domination, return of iron boots, philosophy, the will. I've got routines. Everything's got a routine with it. You can take pieces of it. You can use the whole thing. You can get a hold of me. That's all at FiorelloBarbellCo.com. And don't forget our intensity training. That's a free video series. That's out there. And obviously, sponsorship's a big thing. We're working on that big time. We're going to contribute now a percentage to Muscular Dystrophy Association. If you know anything about the show, you know that the whole business is dedicated to my brother Jimmy that died as a young teenager to that gruesome disease, man. It just ate him alive, wheelchair bound, and everything is dedicated to little Jim. And I don't go a day without thinking about him. And when I'm hurting or pissing and moaning, I think about him and it shuts my ass up quick. So we're going to have that done, and we'd love you to come on board for $300 a month. If you've been following me, I'm doing 7 to 15 podcasts a week. You're mentioned in the beginning and the end. Give us a try. We want to be around here 25 years at least. We'd love to work with you. We can help you brand. And the guy that does all that is Chris Bigelow of MonsterDevelopment.com, 800-687-1609. Tell him Eric sent you. He knows who I am. Today, this is what I like. We have a first-time guest on the show, and I saw Brian first on Facebook, and I like what he says, and I like what he's doing. So we have Brian Zurich on here today, and he is a stone lifter. He loves to play around with maces. I know he's a weightlifter. He's a big carrier. He likes to drag things. And we're going to bring Brian in today in one moment. And, you know, as everybody knows, I like to build a foundation with all the new men and women coming in here. But Brian and I have been talking about some stuff offline before we came on. So we're going to kind of be all over today. And this is good because you're going to get a good feel for what this gentleman's about. Brian, welcome to Motivation Muscle, sir.
How you doing, Eric? Thanks for having me, sir.
I'm glad to have you here. Just give everybody a short bio, and we're just going to get into some questions, if you would, please.
Okay, well, Brian Zurich from Dundalk, Maryland. I kind of started this about 2 years ago at 44 years old. I just wanted the change in my life, and so I quit drinking. I had a 36 waist, skinny arms, skinny legs. I looked horrible. And I just needed a change in my life. And my first weight was that I discovered was the kettlebell. Because I wanted something small for my house, something I could put in a room. And that just, like a rolling stone, it just went into all this unconventional training and new friends of unconventional training. And it led me into working out with chains and maces and cement cylinders, stones from down the park, log flipping. And it's a great journey. And I love it. Every morning I just wake up and like, what am I doing today? I don't plan anything until the morning. And that's how I like it.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Obviously, you made a lifestyle change big time.
Yeah.
What brought you to that, Brian? I mean, were you not feeling well? Were you just tired all the time? You know, or did you see something in the weightlifting or the strongman, profession there that said, you know what, I might want to try this? What was the motivator that really got you to where you are right now?
Okay, well, it was New Year's Day, okay, from 2013. I woke up with a hangover, and I had the flu.
Yep.
And I had the flu for 5 days. It was the worst that I was ever sick. I couldn't get out of bed. So I went 5 days without a beer. And I just said, well, let me see if I can go another 5 days without a beer. And it just went like that. And I tell people, it's like the Forrest Gump movie, where he runs to the end of the block. Well, then I think I'll just run to the edge of town. Well, I'll just keep running to the end of the state. That's how it started. I didn't wake up that day saying I was going to quit drinking. And but then I see my belly start to go down. And I start looking in the mirror. I said, well, maybe I'll get my curling bar out. You know, I had an old the curling bar from high school that I pulled out of the basement. I think I had 30 pounds on there. Oh, you know, struggling. And now the first year was a lot of trial and error, okay, because I didn't know anything about diet. And so I rode my bike. I rode my bike every day, and I lost like 35 pounds in like 3 months because I didn't eat. And even at my job, Human Resources called me up and said, you know, Brian, are you okay? They thought maybe I had the big C word, cancer, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I looked horrible, you know? And I just said, no, I quit drinking. I'm working out. I'm riding my bike every day, you know, but I didn't know anything about food intake. And I'm a very hard gainer. But, and then another thing was I was going to get, like, my tattoos redone. So I'm looking at pictures of these models and, you know, these guys with tattoos, and they got big arms and these physiques. I'm like, well, maybe I should build myself up a little first before I worry about getting my tattoos redone, because I had really skinny arms then. I lost so much weight. And then I said, well, you know, I can't get a power rack in here or anything. So that's when I discovered, you know, the kettlebell. And I started with a 35-pounder. I ordered a 35-pound kettlebell and a 45-pound kettlebell. So when the 35-pound kettlebell came in the mail, and it was on the porch, it was in a box. The 45 didn't come yet. Mm-hmm. So I'm lifting the box, and I put it in, and I'm barely picking up this 35-pound bell. And I said, you know what? I'm going to have to call them and say, cancel the 45-pound, because this 35-pound, I can barely get it up. You know, but after, you know, I watched a lot of YouTube videos on, you know, kettlebell workouts for beginners, and a lot of the women videos, because I was, you know, built like a woman. I was so, you know, kind of small and puny, and that's how I started, with just swings with 35-pound, and so when the 45-pound came, I wasn't afraid of it. I was like, okay, I'm just going to swing heavier, you know?
Yeah.
And I just started advancing. And then I tried to do an overhead press with my left hand with the 35, and because I'm left-handed. And, you know, I did three of them. I said, oh, that's pretty neat. But my right arm, I couldn't do any. I could barely get it up, and I thought I had a lot of damage in the shoulder or something. And, so I talked to a friend, and he said, well, no, you're just not, you know, your muscles are not used to lifting any kind of weight. And, you know, you have to work that muscle, and, you know, you're going to get it up.
Yeah.
You're going to get that weight up. And like this morning, I was lifting my stone, my concrete cylinder. That's 104 pounds, so I did five sets.
Yep.
And, you know, five reps each. And then I got, my heaviest bell is a 55 pound. And I did the 10 overhead presses with the left hand and 10 overhead presses with the right hand. And it just, it takes time. It takes patience. I tell people, I said, you know, it's going to take about 2 years for you to see a big change in your body, in your strength, before people start noticing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because I started walking around, like, I like to do walks. I'm a carrier of weight. I just love it. I love being outside. I cannot work out in the house unless it's pouring rain and I have to get my boring, the curling bar and do curls, because I hate bar work. I just like to be outside with weird stuff lifted.
Yep.
And so I started, you know, I was probably 135 pounds, and then I bought, like, a 20-pound slam ball.
Yep.
And I used to just hold it and walk and just do laps. It's exactly a half mile around the pond. So I would do, you know, four laps. I'd be dying. You know, people be laughing at me. What's he doing, you know? And but now, a couple of days ago, I got a 50-pound slam ball that I carry with one arm, like a headlock position.
Sure.
Yeah, I just walk around with that, you know. My secret is the ball does not touch the ground. You know, what? I got to keep going, you know, just move that ball around my body. Just keep walking. I just like invent stuff, you know.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this, Brian. I just got off with Roger LaPointe, and we've been talking about this on a lot of other shows, and I've talked to a lot of my friends at workout. I'm convinced just of what I've seen with Lil Al here, and I've known this for a while, and I wish I knew this when I started, because I think I even would have, you know, gotten a lot better. I'm convinced taking a sandbag, you can use a ball like you do, a stone, and bear hugging that and keeping that out in front of you, and you can do varied distances, you can do varied weights like we do here. I can run right now. We're probably going to have a 4-stone here, I hope, within the next few months. We run various feet with stuff. Like, what we do is we go and get 55-gallon drums, the plastic ones, and set them strategically all over the place. I have a 95-foot driveway, so we can do that.
That's nice.
Now, what we'll do, I might take the biggest stone and load that to 350 to open and walk 15 feet. Right. Somebody will be there. We load it on the first barrel.
That's a lot of weight.
Yep. But then we'll have another stone at, say, 185, and we might go, I don't know, maybe another 35 feet with that. And then we'll have the other one, and at that point, we might go up to 225 and run that right to the end. Obviously, turn around, come back, set it down, grab the 185, go back to that barrel, and then grab the 300-plus and go home. Now, you want to build explosive power, and I'm talking strength, endurance, strength. I found doing that is like one of the most severe ways to do things. And, I mean, I add in many other things with it. Obviously, we've built apparatus here to pull the steel stone on the outside of the garage with logging chain at any height. And then I built and had it, well, I designed it and had it built where I have this piece that fits exactly inside the power rack, which goes over each long rod. And I can lift those steel stones from the bottom to up to, like, if I want to pull them from the middle of my navel. All right. So when you can do things like that, you can increase your walking power, like, exponentially. And I feel that by building more and more walking power, that's going to translate into bigger and bigger lifts with the squat, the pull, and overhead, okay? I've seen it. Now, it does take time, like you said. Transformations take time.
Yep.
I got news for you. When, you know, I trained to go to Iceland twice, and, you know, Bill Crawford is on here who organized all that. And to me, he's probably one of the premier stone lifters in the universe. You know, that's one of the things we talked about. In fact, we talked about it on the last show we did a little over a week ago, was this. When you train stones 2 to 3 times a week, and I'm talking, you know, you might want to throw in, obviously, you know, a squat with it or a pull with it, you know.
Of course, yeah.
But you're going to have to obviously figure what you're going to do because, you know, the chance of overtraining or getting hurt is always very relevant with anything like that. But what he told me, and I can tell you this too, when he was doing this stuff really, really big to go away, he said his body, the metamorphosis of his body changed totally where his hair got thicker, his skin got thicker,
Wow. His
ligaments and tendons got bigger. It was almost like, to me, it almost sounds like the whole caveman effect. And see, but here's the gist, and this is what I'm going to ask you next, but we're going to fade into it with this because this had to be very important for what you were trying to accomplish. You have a mental tenacity in you when you're doing stuff like this that nobody can teach you this. You either have this in you and what you do is expand upon it or you don't. And there's no way you can't because you'll have failure after failure. You just quit, all right?
Yep.
Now, with what you have dealt with over the last 2 years or plus, obviously you're going from a guy that lived at the letter Z, and now you're the guy that wants to live at letter A, and everything in between you're going to build to become the healthy Z, okay?
Yes.
So what did you experience mentally? Because you had to feel a lot of stuff. I mean, obviously, you're not drinking anymore. You know, you've corralled yourself in now to a guy that has gone the whole other direction. What were you feeling mentally, and how do you feel mentally right now from, say, 2.5 years ago?
Oh, I mean, you know, that's another thing I told people, you know. It's some of these walks, for instance, I'll tell you one when my middle daughter, Sarah, she went to the Air Force, okay?
Yep.
And she was in the basic training. And that's when I was just starting, like, to carry, like, heavier weight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I was really pushing myself because I'm just thinking that my daughter, you know, they are so, for 8 weeks, you know, that's the hardest time in her life, what she's going through. I did this walk where, and that's usually wintertime I do these walks, where I have a backpack and I put my long chain in there. It's a 45-pound chain, and I'll hand carry a 55-pound kettlebell and a 45-pound kettlebell, like a farmer's walk. Now, the park is 7 blocks away from me. So I carry all my weight to that park.
Yep.
You know, every, you know, so the workout starts as soon as I walk out my gate. And then, so when, by the time I got home from that walk, because I also go to the soccer field, I put the kettlebells down, I tie the chain around them, then I start doing drags back and forth on the soccer fields. And then all kind of kettlebell movements and stuff like that. And that one day when I got home, I was in so much pain and like a mental pain. I came home, I was out back, and I was like in tears. I was crying hard. I guess it's from the emotion of missing my daughter, the pain, the mental strength. I could not believe I just did what I did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another thing. When you're carrying weight that far, you just can't leave the weight there and say, oh, I'm done, I can't do it. That weight, that weight has to come back home. I don't care how much pain I am in, I got to get that weight back to my house, back to that yard,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, I think, too, with the when you're upset and in tears, I can look at it from a different point of view, too. I think at that point, maybe the old you just left.
Yeah.
Think about that, because, you know, everybody's releasing a lot of stuff all the time. And when your body is going through, and obviously with your daughter being gone now, I understand that totally. But you're going through, when you're doing stuff like that, when you're going from a body that you no longer really want to be part of, I mean, you shed your skin every month anyways, it's well known, but it's like the mind, that's what I was saying, the mind understands it too. I mean, the body and the mind are not exclusive. They're always together. You know, they work in unison together.
Oh,
and it's like when you're sitting there, there's a lot of stuff running through you, man. And it's like your body and mind at some point has to release the old Brian, because the new one has become so much greater, the personality. You know, it's like the Hulk, man.
Yeah.
When you see when he morphs into the Hulk, you know, I remember watching some of the movies. He was like, Banner would say, Betty Ross would say, what does it feel like when you change? And he'd say, it felt like a bottle of battery acid poured on my brain, but just magnified a million times. It's the same thing, you know. Look, I've had nights out there where I just wanted to cash it in. Anybody that says they've never felt that is full of shit.
Yeah.
I've said some horrendous things to myself, too, out there that I wouldn't even say to anybody. Because my expectations of me are higher than anybody will ever expect. And I'm Italian, and I've got a bad fucking temper when it gets lit, which I try not to light up very much. It's not good to be like that. But, you know, when things are going belly up on you, you know, and you're trying to find a way to salvage that workout, and you're trying to find a way to figure out why is it going like this? Why last week I could take this and just motor it, and tonight I'm struggling or I can't move it, you know?
Yeah, right.
And we know what goes on, but it's the body and the mind, you know, they're working together. Something isn't, you know, on point tonight. And you know what? The ones that really make it and are very good, and I don't care if you're lifting in your garage, your yard, outside, you know, over in the park, it doesn't matter, all right? Or if you're in the best headquarters in the world training Olympic lifts or whatever, all right? The point of the matter, everybody deals with that stuff. And what I find is this now, I've walked out of that gym and shut the door and went in. I've done that on a few occasions because I did it for one reason. I did it to protect myself because I was getting pissed off more and more, throwing shit, slamming stuff together, and I knew if I kept it up, I was going to end up getting hurt. Something, you know, because when you have that type of motion, you don't have good capture of yourself. What if you drop a fucking 45-pound plate on your foot? Well, now you got a broken foot.
Well, yeah,
being stupid, all right?
Yeah.
So you know, when you say you were very upset, emotional, I understand that because we all deal with that. You have things happen. You have workouts. Because for us guys and girls out there, this is as much of us as your arms and legs. People, this is where people don't understand this. And, you know, when people say, oh, you're crazy and this, you might be a little bit, and you have to be a little bit to want to do these real, I mean, these are not, to people, these are very abnormal things. But, you know, we don't get to go out and do the things they could do 200 years ago. It's not there for us anymore. So to me, the weight field's the battleground for me. It's where I settle a lot of my differences with others or in my head, because if I wanted to go out and settle things, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. I'd be in jail, all right? the point of the matter is this. The weight room is the best thing that was ever invented, no matter where you call your weight room.
Right.
Weights to me, okay, there's a lot of emotion to it. And I'll tell you one thing I know for sure. When I've been weightlifting a long time now, and I love to hear people say, like, you know, I go to family functions and the little kids are all there, and a lot of times they'll just grab me and I'm out playing with them and having a ball, right? And a lot of them would say to me, like, and friends of the family, like, geez, I never knew you were like that. I never thought, you know, I was like, well, what do you think, you know, and what does it matter? Why? Because I lift weights. I have no emotion towards my nieces and nephews. If anything, I think a weightlifter has more emotion than any regular person out there, and I'll tell you why. And I don't mean as in a sissy emotion either. What I'm saying is this. When you're that connected from your brain to your body, there's no way you don't have good emotion and good intentions. And I'd far rather be this than some dried-up old dude, you know, that looks at the world like it's no good and there's nothing good to look forward to. Every day to me, man, is like a blessing to get up, get on my feet, and go do something and enjoy and just take everything you can out of your life. Even when things are bad and you're down, man, you know, it's not the end. And it's like lifting for me has been more than just lifting. It's been a godsend in a lot of ways. It's kept me really on the straight and narrow. The discipline alone, man, has just shaped and made my life. I would never be here talking to you if I didn't have this type of discipline, because I'll be honest, last 2.5 years has been brutally hard on me, especially financially. But you know what? We're ready to turn the corner now. We're ready to go away. So, you know, I understand totally that. The next thing, though, that I really that I'm really interested in, too, is what are you looking at? You know, is there anything goal-wise you're looking at now? Now, I mean, obviously you've made extreme strides. You're doing the big stuff. You're doing what you want to do. Obviously, you're very inventive because you're outside with very little. But what do you got? Would you want to ever get into anything, you know, competitively, or you just enjoy the competition between you and anything you touch?
I just enjoy just me.
Yep.
The stone or a sandbag just out in nature. You know, yeah. I mean, I never even thought about, you know, going in and doing the competing. You know, I mean, I'm 165 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, 5'9".
Yep.
A lot of these videos, these guys are 6'7", 400 pounds, man.
Yeah.
But you know what? I would like to... I'll maybe help people. You know, I have a guy. I have a guy coming tomorrow. He wants to do my workout down the park with the log and the boulder, and he's like a body weight guy.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a lot either, you know. And these are just things that I find around the park. You know, when they put a beach in last year at the park, and they brought all that's. When they brought all the stone in, that's when I really got into it, because the guys, I was carrying a sandbag, 80-pound sandbag. I was doing my laps, and I asked the guy, that all the stones were in a big pile. And I said, can I grab one of them and, you know, take a walk with it? And let me tell you, I think they were there six weeks, you know, building the beach. And they knew my name, I knew their name, and they said, any stones you want, Brian, just come down and take them.
Yeah.
And But, yeah, just, you know.
Well, Brian, you know what that is, too? That's a sign of respect.
Yeah.
You know?
That's cool.
I mean, well, I got
nicknames down there. They call me the Herc. I guess when I wear the chains. Boom Boom. Boom Boom Mancini.
Sure.
Because, you know, I mean, you got to have a goal, I think. A realistic goal, okay? My goal, a few months ago, finally I found a goal, because I like the UFC fighting. Them guys are in great shape. They have a lot of balls just to walk in them rings. And I wanted to look like a lightweight fighter.
Yeah,
because I got to be realistic. I'm not going to be 300 pounds. It's not going to happen. So the past couple weeks, a few people said, man, are you a fighter? And right there I realized, man, I've reached that goal. Because I train like sort of like a fighter, you know. And with the stones, I mean, I am pulled in so many directions. You know, I want to lift heavier. That means I have to gain more weight. You know, I want to, you know, pick up the weight. Like I tell people, you know, they'll say, you know, where's your abs at? Well, I'll say, well, you know, abs are for models and porn stars. I mean, the little belly I have now is protein. I mean, you need that, you know. Yeah. So.
Well, let me tell you something. You don't even have to lift weights, but anybody that understands or follows sports is always going to respect strength. Now, those guys that you're dealing with, they're strong guys. When you're ripping up concrete, pouring concrete, they might not have the perfect physique, but I can remember as a kid watching black toppers and stuff. Those dudes, you look at them, they got monster hands and forearms and wrists. And these guys, when you're slinging around hot wheelbarrows of tar all day, don't let anybody kid you. So when guys like that are complimenting you, you know, that's impressive because, you know, strong is strong, man. That's the bottom line. And people that really understand strength, when they see it, respect strength, and they'll always acknowledge you. And that's a great thing because, look, you don't need anybody patting you on the back. But once in a while, it is nice to hear, hey, nice job.
Good when I hear that.
Yeah, or, you know, obviously you work very hard. Because nothing's going to come easy. And nothing's free in this world. I mean, everybody thinks it is, but it's not. Somebody's always paying for somebody else. And the thing I always liked about training was you teach yourself a lot of independence, a lot of responsibility. And what you're doing is the best thing, and I'm doing it too. We're passing it along.
Yes.
And that really is what you and I and everybody else should be required to do and not be told that, because I think right now we're at critical mass, especially with the younger kids right now, and we've got a lot of younger kids now listening to this show. We all know what's going on out there, and a lot of broken families and a lot of problems out there.
Oh, yeah.
And I try to stay away from that. I know what's going on. I'm up on it, and I don't need to have that in my head 24/7. But I think right now, more than ever, like Frank DeMeo's doing a thing down in Sarasota with the Cave, with the Brotherhood. He's taking a lot of these kids that are in trouble or you know, young adults, bringing them in, trying to form them as good men again and put them back into society as productive and helping others. And that's what I think we're all about, man, because my whole thing is it's like this. You know, a lot of us have been very blessed to have learned from people or just been smart enough to bang around long enough where we figured something out that works and we've made good gains and good strength and we've been mentally charged and all this. But the thing now, I think more than ever, is especially with the kids, they need mentors like us out there. This is why I did this show, because I always say, I think about that 10-year-old kid that sat at the table and said, okay, you know, what would you ask Roger LaPointe? What would you ask Brian? What would you ask, you know, David Shaw or Bill Cross? What is it that's on your mind and when you meet these people? Well, now today I'm in a position where I can do that. And I hope that the kids that are listening to it, and the adults too, think back the same way. It's like, yeah, you know, I always wanted to know about that. God, the guy had him on the show, and now I understand the whole deal. Because I'll tell you what, I ask myself this question every day, and I've done a five-question series with people, and maybe we'll even do it with you down the road.
Okay.
And I ask them, the first question is, why do you lift? Now, you might get a lot of the standard fare back, but then you might always get like a golden nugget, okay? I ask that question every day to myself, and I give you a different answer every day, okay?
All right.
That's very important to do a lot of self-examination like that when you're that dedicated to something, because I think it keeps you very fresh mentally, and I think it's very good to ask questions like that. I just think that we need to do more of that. That's all. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
You know, it's to be blessed with being able to lift and lift for years, even when you've had injuries and you come back and all that. I look at it this way. Think any sport. I mean, if you're relatively healthy right to the end, I mean, there's guys 100 years old still lifting. Wouldn't it be great to be 100 years old? I always say,
yeah.
Yeah, and I always say 100 years old and a 200-pound squat.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what sport? Can you tell me one sport that can make it that long? There's nothing.
Yeah, right.
What? I mean, what? These guys in football are washed up in 5 years usually, maybe less. Think about basketball, hockey, any of that stuff. I mean, by the time, if those guys get to play any length of time, by the time they're 30 years old, they are beat to shit. Now, I'm not saying that doesn't happen in weightlifting. If you don't take care of yourself or, unfortunately, you have some bad, bad injuries, okay. But if you do things right, you have a chance to go quite a long time in this great sport.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I work with the same weight for months before I even move up in weight. I mean, that's why I've never been hurt yet, you know, in the 2 years. Of course, a bunch of bruises when I first got to – into the mace, and I'm swinging the mace, trying to do a 360, and it just pounded my back, and I look at my back, it's black and blue, and that's the thing with the mace, you know, it's hard to watch a YouTube video and then go run outside real quick and try to do the move. You know, it ain't like a kettlebell when you can swing it. You know, a mace can tear apart your ceilings and your walls and everything.
Oh yeah, that's a serious
Yeah, and anyway, I've been lucky, you know, scrapes and bruises and scars, and that's just, you know, that makes the man. I mean, that's who, that's all part of it.
Hey, look, when Bill Crawford and I blew our biceps in Iceland in 08, all the Icelanders were saying to us, and at the time, you're like, eh, you know, they're like, well, you're going to have a permanent scar to always remember Iceland, and now it makes total sense, and, you know, if you want to go out and play dynamite, sometimes you can get hurt.
Yeah.
And this is not a safe sport. You try to make it as safe as you can for yourself. But, you know, you and I both know that you could potentially blow yourself up permanently. And what else am I going to do? That's what I'm thinking. I mean, is there anything else out there I like? I played organized sports most of my life. But nothing ever matched up to weightlifting.
Right.
Nothing.
Yep.
Nothing. Stones. Look, I've gone through so many training partners. I lost two good ones due to a lot of this stuff, which is pretty bad. But on the other hand, there's always a flip side that's good, because I never would have learned how to do all that serious, concentrated power rack work, or, you know, got into stones and then building stones and then building steel stones and all that. It's kind of an evolution that things, you know, you don't understand why things happen at the time they do, but if you pay attention and you go along and beat it up, and it's going to beat you up, and eventually you win, chances are, man, you're going to learn something really, really vital about you and your life and what you can do. And the question I have to you is this. With all the stuff you've done in the last few years, and we talked about a little bit with the mental thing, how far, if you didn't have a good, strong will, where would you be right now? Do you think you'd be where you are today, or would you have hung it up?
You know what? If I didn't get the flu that day,
Yeah.
I might still be a drinker.
There you go.
You know, I mean, I think it really woke me up, man. I mean, that's what started all this.
Yep.
You know, I got sick. I was sick with the flu and a hangover.
Yep.
And
But isn't it amazing how something just the flu? Look. I mean, I guess everybody should wish they get the flu at this point, right?
Yeah. Because I didn't drink a beer, and just seeing my stomach go down is kind of what started it, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, the first year was a lot of trial and error, I mean, I mean, the hardest thing is, you know, anybody can lift weight, but
yeah,
to have the right diet, to have the right food, oh my God, it's hard. It's still hard.
Yeah, it is.
That's the hardest thing.
Well, here's a question. You train in all types of weather. What's your favorite weather to hit?
Winter, man, because I do Viking walks, I call it, and I take, you know, I got 90 pounds of chain, and
yep.
I do the weights around my ankles, you know, they're the 10-pound ankle weights, and when we had
yep.
that snow, I would just go to the park, find the deepest snow, and just start walking, man, and
You wearing short sleeves or no? You're a real Viking?
I wear short sleeve. Well, when it was 6 degrees, I didn't have short sleeves on, let me tell you.
Right.
But I
yeah,
did.
Right.
I wear my the Under Armour, like a long sleeve
yep.
shirt, and,
yep.
and I wear a hoodie and a hat.
Yep.
And of course, and a protection on my hands, you know, gloves. But
absolutely. If you get frostbite, you're in
It's weird, you know, Eric, because I did notice this past winter when it was in the 30s. I was out in a t-shirt,
yeah.
walking around, working
yep.
out, and
yep.
and the cold did not bother my arms at all. I don't know if that has something to do with the training.
Well, it's conditioning, because I have the same thing. Look, last year we ran out of fuel. I didn't go and get much, and it was pretty cold out there, and I was front squatting, and I crossed my arms when I front squat. When I went to rack the bar stuck to my throat. So how do you think that went?
Oh, my God.
And then probably 3 years ago, talk about Vikings. I remember him talking in Iceland. You know, even in the winter, they would wear no shirt and carry a stone.
Hell
so
yeah.
Being me, I said, well, I think I'd do it. I think it was like zero out.
Wow.
So I take my shirt off, and I grab a stone. It was maybe a 250-pound stone. Start walking with it, right?
Yep.
Come back, and I go to pull the stone, and it ain't moving. And I'm like, well, I got a big problem here, because there's no way I can get in the house with this stone and pour hot water on my chest, and hopefully it comes off. So I had to do, I guess, the real Viking thing and pull it off. It took two nice slabs of skin with me.
Oh, my God,
I still got the scar. I still got a couple light scars on my pecs. I mean, it wasn't like I was ripping a 3-inch piece off, but it pulled skin off, man. I mean, because, you know, you don't think about sweating.
Right.
Okay? And when it's zero, things stick when it's zero to wetness.
That's incredible,
like,
man.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know, so, look, you know something? Everybody, you know, this is the beauty of doing these shows, Brian. Everybody's got stories to tell, and this is like when you sit down with your buddies and you might have a drink, or you're just bullshitting around with a cup of coffee, and you know, you're talking about all these things and people you admire and things you want to do down the road. And to me, lifting it, when we're doing this is like the essence of life, because to me, I've told people this, it's like without lifting, or when I take a week off, I start feeling ordinary.
Yep.
And I don't like being ordinary.
Me either.
And this is everything in your life. This will build better relationships, whether it's with your wife or your girlfriend or your children or your friends. You know, you learn to be a loyal individual, whether the whole world is not. It doesn't matter to me. And you learn to take things like friendships and love and power and strength. So, you know, you guard them with ferocity because you never want to lose them, man. And like I said before, you know, when you were dealing with, you know, being upset with your daughter and all the other stuff that was going on, I think that lifters emotionally are better than anybody out there because of such a strong tie mentally and physically, and you have to have them both to have it.
Exactly.
Now, I know we're pressed for time, but before we go, I just want to ask you one last thing. If somebody walked up to you right now and obviously said, you know, you're a weightlifter and, you know, I really admire what you're doing, I'm interested in it, what would you tell somebody, you know, and you don't have to go into a big, deep thing, but what would you say to them? I mean, you've got to be feeling a lot of good things now. Would you just go to them and say, do it? What would you express to somebody? If I came up to you and said, Brian, I've been over to the park, I've seen you now here and there, and I see what you do, I'd like to get into it. Could you tell me what to do or just point me?
Exactly. And I, you know, people, you know, they come up to me and, you know, if they want to train in my yard, which is called the pit, or if they, or if they want to do one of my workouts, what I tell them is when you can do 100 push-ups, then you come see me.
Yeah, okay.
I said, that's, you know, I mean, there's no excuse, no reasons that you shouldn't be able to do a push-up in your house. I mean, when I started, I couldn't even do five.
Great.
You know, but the push-ups are what built all my upper strength.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And you don't need anything. You don't need weights.
Yep.
You know, I do push-up with chains now and everything because you got to progress. But if you're just starting out like I was, and, you know, that's how I started.
Yep.
You know,
but
before I had the money to get the kettlebells and the 20-pound slam ball. You know, you can do everything with body weight.
Yep, and there's no excuse for not doing it.
Exactly.
I know we're pressed for time, so is there anything, would you like to add anything before I give the information out? And I'd just like you to stay on the line for a minute, if you would, please.
Yep.
Anything you want to say, just say what you want, and then I'll go into mine.
I would just like the quote from the movie 300, Rise of an Empire, hold nothing back, seize your glory.
Nice, man. Okay, just hang on one second. This is Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by www.docsprefer.com. That's Dr. William Wong. Thank you, sir, for everything you do. Sorenx.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Once again, thanks to Richard and Bert. Very much appreciated. Hearts Collision, heartscollision.com, 518-477-7937. Once again, thank you to Lori and Alex for all their generosity to me, and they got a great kid, and we're going to have a lot of fun this winter. FiorellaBarbellCo.com, the 10 ways to build mind and muscle. It's free. Download it, ebook. It's got some good stuff in it. Check it out. One of our products, Strength Times Power Equals Success, that's out on FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Don't forget the Winter Circle and our intensity training. All fine material. Check it out. Obviously, sponsorship. If you invest in us, we'll invest in you. And as I said, we're going to be around here for a long time. Take a shot on us. I guarantee you're not going to be disappointed. If you hear me, you can obviously tell that I'm no BS. I work very hard, and I'll work very hard for you. We can keep getting the show bigger and get it out all over the world. We're out in the UK now. I'm busting my ass every day. I work every day of the week. So, and obviously getting ready for everything else. So, you don't need to hear all that, but we're the real deal. So, check us out. And that's at FiorellaBarbellCo.com, and just click sponsorship. And obviously, the guy that does it all, Chris Bigelow, MonsterDevelopment.com, 800-687-1609. FiorellaBarbellCo.com, MotivationAndMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star. That's all we've gotten. Get us out everywhere. Tell a friend. You know, let them know that we're here, and we're here to stay, and we're going to bring you the best stuff out there. We're on Twitter at FiorelloEric, on Facebook, FiorelloBarbell, Motivation and Muscle. If there's a show you'd like to do, if you want to talk, have Brian and I do something specifically, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. Keep looking out for all the stuff that's going to be coming with the new product, the Winter Circle, all the stuff about muscular dystrophy. We've joined with them now. Anybody that signs up here to sponsor us, MDA is going to get a sponsorship. You'll see a picture of Jimmy up here, my brother, and there's a few other things that you're going to like. We got new branding coming, et cetera, et cetera. Be on the lookout for everything. I'll leave you with these three things. First off, if someone seeks you out in the concrete jungle or in the gym, don't be afraid to give them your time. I mean, this is what it's all about. Secondly, like my mom always said, never be afraid to give somebody a smile or a hello. That might be all they get that day. And next, go out today and lift big chunks of iron, take some stones and turn them into dust. And most of all, like the Crusher Steel Stone says, domination. We are domination. We're going to be a million plus strong. We don't care if you lift a 400-pound stone or a 100-pound stone. You're always welcome at my table. Never forget that. Nobody knows it all. Nobody's done it all, and nobody ever will. But we're here to help you every way, and we appreciate anything you can give to us, too. So, for Brian Zurich, this is Eric Fiorello. I want to thank everybody for listening today. We hope to get Brian on again. We hope he liked the show.
Love it.
And we'll be talking. Good, Brian. But we'll be talking to you, obviously. I've got a lot of shows this week. We got Mike Gillette coming up tomorrow. We got Rob Regish, et cetera, down the next few days. So we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, everybody, for listening. You're all greatly appreciated.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.